It's time now for...
All right. Welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. This evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to a young child in a video, a beautiful video that I'm going to post on my website later tonight, singing the Ukrainian national anthem. And that's because today, Sunday, April 3rd, 2022, we're having a special show that is completely dedicated to Ukraine and the Ukrainian people. And we want to create a show that brings hope and healing so that we can have the energy to help and be part of the peace that we want to see in the world. We know that people are stressed out, but by helping, we can feel not so helpless, and we'll also be doing some healing here on the show. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment is here with us, of course, to make the show run smoothly. We won't have any commercials today, and we won't be taking any calls from callers. If you have information that you want to get to me, you can feel free to email me at drmara@drmarakarpel.com. And if I don't get to announce it on this show, then if it's something relevant to the show, I'll post it on my website post. And in a little while, we'll be joined right here from here in Austin by chair of the board for HFLA. To discuss how his local organization is helping people in Ukraine and about the national organization that we might be able to donate to that's doing fundraising to help refugees. And I'll also tell you about some more of the organizations that I trust enough that I've been donating to as well. And then we'll be joined for the remainder of the program, once again from Washington, D.C., world-renowned cellist Tanya Anisimova. And we'll be playing some of her healing music for Ukraine. She'll possibly play live for us on air, and we'll discuss about her support for Ukraine as a Russian American and why we all need to support this sovereign nation. And I will be posting links later tonight on my website, drmarakarpel.com, with any information that could be helpful. And even after tonight, if I learn of other ways that we can help, I'll be posting that on my website. And you can listen to the show later tonight there. You can also re-listen to this on podcast in 5 minutes after the show right here on blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And this program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions. And without further ado, let me get to our first guest, Ed Hockfield, who's joining us from right here in Austin, Texas. And he is chair of the board for HFLA, and he's going to talk about some ways that they are helping the Ukrainian civilians. Welcome, Ed.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Karpel. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss how those here in the not only the Austin area, but perhaps your listeners elsewhere can help this situation, the unfortunate, the devastating situation in Ukraine. I know that us being thousands of miles away, people are saying, how can I help? So thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, and thank you for joining us. I know it's a busy day for all the nonprofits in the Austin area raising money with Ignite Austin.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, I'm actually sitting in the foyer of the JW Marriott as tonight Ignite is the annual the largest annual event by the Shalom Austin Federation, Jewish Federation. I know that you asked Rabbi Daniel Septimus to be on this program, but as the executive director of Shalom Austin, he's quite busy, but he sends his best, and I discussed with him some of his thoughts. So if I may, for a moment, first talk about when you say the acronym HFLA, I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the Hebrew Free Loan of Austin. We are 11 years in our we are 11 years in our formation. However, Hebrew Free Loans throughout the world, including Australia, Sydney, and in Jerusalem, along with cities in Canada and the United States, some of them have been in 125 years or more. What we do here in Austin and what we are doing for the Ukrainian, our part is our mission is to offer a hand up in the form of a interest-free, no interest loan to those in the to the Austin Jewish community where they need a hand up. So in this respect, we have extended our general loan, which is up to $10,000, to anyone here in the Austin Jewish community who might have a family member or a friend in Ukraine who is in need of funds to either stabilize their life or perhaps even to leave Ukraine. And all one needs to do there, Dr. Carpel, is to go to our website, HLA, that's again HFLA.org, and that will lead a person to where they can make application. So there would need to be a guarantor because this is a loan, no interest loan, with repayment anywhere from 24 to 30 months. So that is available. We urge anyone who might know of someone in Ukraine to please make an application. That could be a loan up to $10,000.
Right. And as we talked about on the phone, the friend or the family member doesn't have to themselves be Jewish. It's just the loan is offered to the Jewish community here.
That is correct. It would be offered to a Jewish person here in Austin. It does not have to necessarily be to someone who is Jewish in Ukraine. You're correct.
Okay. So I'm going to be posting that on my website link tonight so people can go there and they can find out how they, you know, if they're interested in that, how they can do it. And you also mentioned to me some national effort to fundraise for refugees from Ukraine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Shalom Austin here in Austin as part of their federation, and the Federation of North America has been very instrumental in helping those in Ukraine in various ways. It could be providing help to those who are caught in the fighting. It could be assisting those seeking to flee. It could be aiding refugees already in neighboring countries. And it could also be for facilitating Aliyah. What I would add, what I would suggest, and as you mentioned, some of your organizations that you can mention later in the evening, vetting is a very important thing. And I can tell you, Dr. Carpel, that the Jewish Federation's organization is very, very, very well vetted. The monies that one would donate goes directly to those in need. And I would suggest that if any of your listeners are interested, they would go to the website, JewishFederations.org. Again, that's Jewish Federations, FEDERATIONS.org. And when they get to that site, there's a pull down of how we help. And all one would have to do is just click that how we help, and right away the first next click or the first thing coming up would be crisis in Ukraine. And it really tells the story, as I have just highlighted very quickly. It tells the story of what is currently being done, and they give not only a way of suggesting of donate, but if one wants to volunteer, there is a click for that on that page, and there's also a click for advocacy. I would tell you that, and lastly, which might be of interest, is there is a twice a week, which is on Monday and Thursday, Austin time would be 3:30 to 4 o'clock, there is a briefing by the Federation of exactly what the current status is in Ukraine. The one last week that I was a part of talked about the 100,000 refugees that the current administration has said we will allow in this country. So that's a that's still in process. We don't know the exact particulars of that, but it's a very interesting update for those who might want to partake. That's, again, and you can register for that on that site. So, again, it's going to jewishfederations.org, pull down how we help, and then the crisis in Ukraine takes you right to a very, very complete overview of how the Federation, Jewish Federations, they already poured, I think, close to $40 million into the Ukraine situation. So that is another way that one can participate.
That's great information, and I will be posting that link on my website tonight. That sounds like a really good, a good way for people to get involved. So Ed, I know that you have to run to do the fundraiser Ignite Austin, and good luck to you with that, and thank you for making the time tonight, and I hope that you can come back and speak soon about some of the other ways that HFLA can help people here in the Austin area.
I thank you for this time. I thank your listeners for getting involved in this horrendous situation. It's the greatest displacement since World War II, which many of us were not even alive to see or to be a part of. But I would love to come back, because the Hebrew Free Loan of Austin is here, as I said, to lend a hand up to those of the Jewish community and those who might work for a Jewish agency but not Jewish. And I would love to talk about it. We're here to help. So thank you.
Great.
And I know that I'm sorry you're not staying on for the concert later, but I appreciate the opportunity, and just make it a great day. And thank you again.
Well, thank you. You have a good evening.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. We're going to, before we go to our musician, with her incredible music and her thoughts about healing for Ukraine, Tanya Anasimova, I want to just talk for just very briefly, so that I don't use up a lot of time. You know, being part of the solution, doing something to help, being compassionate and generous is an extremely powerful way to overcome the stress that we feel and the feeling of helplessness that we have. That if we feel that we can do something to help, either by volunteering or donating, even the smallest amount can make a big difference. It all adds up, and we can feel that we're part of the solution. It helps the people who are in need, and it also helps us to be able to heal. And the point of this show is so that we can heal, and we can be the peace in the world, and we can be the ones to help other people. So I wanted to list some of the few organizations in addition to the ones that Ed mentioned, and Jewish Federations is well vetted, and I agree with that. So that is a great place to go to. There's also UNICEF, which helps children worldwide, and now they have an initiative to help the children coming from Ukraine. There are many children crossing the border by themselves because they are orphans, and many of them were orphaned in the last war just a few years ago with Russia. So now UNICEF is helping those children. And there's World Central Kitchen. That's Chef Andre's organization. He's been setting up kitchens to feed people good food in disaster areas for the past several years and now has a kitchen at the border of Ukraine in Poland to feed refugees coming over the border there. There's the Global Empowerment Mission, and they've been on the ground in Poland since day two of the invasion, helping to relocate evacuees, and they're taking donations. And many of you might have heard of the GoFundMe page by Milo Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. And their money that they raise goes to flexport.org and airbnb.org, where they're providing relief supplies to refugee sites in Poland, Romania, Hungary, Slovakia, and Moldavia, and free short-term housing for those who have fled Ukraine since the Russian invasion began on February 24th. And again, I'll be posting these links so that you can find out more about how you can get involved and how you can be part of the solution. And if you know of any trustworthy organizations that I haven't mentioned, please email me at drmara@drmaracarpell.com, and I'll include those links as well, and I'll continue including them even after tonight. So, again, get involved. And now, without any further ado, we want to welcome our next guest, who is a returning guest from Washington, D.C., world-renowned cellist Tanya Anisimova. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you, Mara. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yes,
somehow, listening to your voice, I feel that perhaps we still have a good chance that this absurd will see its end.
I sure hope so. And thank you for saying that. We all feel better when we hear each other's voices. I'm happy to hear your voice as well. Just to remind you, when we speak like this, there's about a half-second delay, so it's just enough to trip us up if we don't know, if we're not aware of it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being available to speak with us on this special evening and to play your beautiful music for us. And I also want to let you know that we're not on a time crunch, so it's okay if we go over the usual one-hour limit of the show. So we're not going to rush you, okay? And we're going to play your musical pieces that you sent in full and also give you an opportunity to perform on live on the air if you're up for it later. Okay.
Okay. Sounds okay. Very exciting.
Yeah. So, you know, why don't we start with the usual, just a little bit about yourself so listeners know who you are, what your background is.
Well, my background is a huge mixture. I am partly Chechen, I am partly Ukrainian, I am partly Russian, and I am partly Polish. And now, witnessing these tragic events, I feel like my whole body it aches. I feel that it's really, this is hard to believe. This is really hard to believe. I was among those people who said even a week before this terrible war began, I said that could never be. That I was among those people who said that it could never be. And now it's happening, and I still can't believe it. I was born in Grozny, in Chechen Republic, and I was I started studying music in Moscow. And when I was 23, I already immigrated to the United States, and continued my education. I graduated from Moscow Conservatory and then from Boston University and then from Yale University School of Music. So for almost a quarter of a century, I was in schools, learning music and mm-hmm. philosophy of music and composition and many different things. But when I was 28, I met an amazing person who became my husband, and his name is Alexander Anufriev, and he is a world-renowned master artist painter, and he paints angels. Your other listeners are welcome to look him up. His last name is Anufriev. His first name was Alexander, and if they look me up, then I'm sure we'll see a few articles or a few interviews which we do together. We have done many projects together, interdisciplinary projects, where his gigantic paintings of angels were displayed where my original music was played. Alexander has painted angels since mid-60s, so this is his sole theme. And right now, more than ever, I feel that we're protected and we're sane because mm-hmm. of the nature of our work. It keeps us afloat spiritually.
Was that one of his angels that you posted recently? You did a post and there was a beautiful painting of an angel. Was that your husband's painting?
Yes, usually when I post paintings, they are by my husband, but some of them are mine. That's how we met. I came to learn to paint. I came to his studio, and yes, I do continue to paint. I do some still lifes and some landscapes, but our styles are very different. It's impossible to mistake one for the other. Mm-hmm. So you see, my landscape is a featured photo on my professional Facebook page. That's mine. But you see, when you look at Alexander's, it's impossible to mistake him for anybody else. It's immediately his style is very striking and very unique. So we now live in Washington, D.C. For 12 years, we lived in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. We enjoyed close communication with the various ashrams. Ashrams are spiritual centers, and it seems to mm-hmm. be that that region of Central Virginia is really it's attracting people seeking self-realization. Yogaville is there. Synchronicity Foundation is there. Bob Monroe Institute is there. Buddhist monasteries are there, all in the vicinity mm-hmm. of 50 or 40 miles. It's a very energetically powerful place. And we were there for 12 years, and we created. I wrote music, and Alexander painted. And then 9 years ago, we came to the Washington, D.C. area. I'm giving concerts, I'm recording, I'm composing, I'm teaching, and Alexander is painting. Our lives are very, very monotone, very much filled with a routine, and we don't even have time, not just because of the pandemic, but we don't really have time to meet with friends very often, which is so immersed in what we do. But in a way, it was helpful. It was helpful, especially when coronavirus struck us all, and then now with these past months, because not much has changed. We're just continuing to do what we do.
You know, Tanya, we share a little bit of background. I've been in the U.S. I'm like second generation on one side and third generation on another. But my my mother's grandparents were from Ukraine and Poland, and my father's parents were from Hungary and Latvia.
So, you're quite a mixture yourself.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, you know, being Eastern European Jewish, our families moved around a lot. throughout Eastern
right.
Europe, marrying people along mm-hmm. the way. So, but yeah, that's interesting. Well, you know, Tanya, why don't we play we're going to play the first song first piece that you sent us. It's the 16-minute piece. Is that one? That one is a suite for...
Is this called Sufi Suite?
Sufi Suite, yes. So we're gonna play the entirety of that, the 16 minutes. So don't go anywhere. Okay. We're going to come back and talk more. And, you know, listeners... And before we go to it, can you talk to us about it? Forgot about that part.
Sure. This piece was written in 2006. And it was premiered in New York at the Rurik Museum, spiritual painter Nicholas Rurik, at his museum with his paintings. It was premiered. And the piece is interesting because the cello is not tuned in its usual way. We call it scordatura, when the cello's tuning is changed. When we change the tuning of the cello, different colors come forth, and this instrument sounds different from what usually sounds like. Also, there is a voice. I'm vocalizing in the second movement. You will hear vocals, and that's me singing along with my playing. The movements are called After Rumi and the Dance of the Dervishes. I'm being Chechen. I'm interested in Sufism, in its poets, in Jalaluddin Rumi and Omar Khayyam. I grew up with their poetry being beautifully translated into Russian. I'm hoping that maybe someday I will learn Persian and will be able to read in the original language. But the idea that, you know, that Sufis were prosecuted by radical Muslims because they played instruments, because they sang, because they danced, because they believed that by creating music and by dancing, they were communing with God, and that went against the tradition. So they were sometimes mm-hmm. publicly prosecuted, and yet they remained who they were. So that's basically it. So this Sufi suite is inspired by a poetry of Jalaluddin Rumi, Sufi poet.
Okay, great. So we're going to play that. We're going to come back and speak some more. And listeners, you know, sit back and enjoy. Okay.
Thank you.
So beautiful, Tanya.
Well, I don't know. It was a live performance, and the recording quality, as I realize now, wasn't as great. But I don't know if the plan is set, or maybe we can slightly change it. I would like to play live because I think that the sound quality will be better, and maybe we will reach the souls of the listeners more that way.
Sure.
Can you
absolutely
hear me?
We're flexible. I can hear you. Yep. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you well. But because it's, I'm with you on the phone, there will be some traffic. Sometimes I can hear the car, so I hope they won't disturb the listening experience.
That's okay. That just makes
it more
live.
I would like to play Albinoni Gerdotto Adagio. It's a very powerful adagio. It's one of the most powerful adagios that I know. And adagio is a slow and majestic tempo in music.
Tanya, could you just give me a couple of notes before you play? Perfect. Perfect. Thank you.
Is it okay?
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
You're on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. My arrangement of the Adagio by Albinoni Giazzotto. And this is
beautiful.
It's a mysterious piece because only the first motif, the first few notes belong to the Baroque composer Albinoni, only those notes. Giazzotto was Italian composer who by chance discovered this excerpt in a library in Berlin. And he was inspired to continue the melody because there was no ending to this melody, only the initial motif. And he finished, he created the whole work. We consider it one of the Baroque, examples of Baroque era, but this is not the one. It's a compilation. And majority of this piece was, the big part of this piece was written in the middle of the 20th century. But it's hard to believe it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. It's very, you know, you said you wanted it to touch people's hearts. It touched mine. It's beautiful. It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
So Tanya, did you ever live in Ukraine?
I never lived in Ukraine. I visited Odessa many times.
Mm-hmm.
Odessa is a beautiful town, very cultural town, the wonderful opera theater. I attended a ballet, Don Quixote, there. When I was there, I was a little girl. I was 9. My father took me there. And I loved Odessa. But then we came in 2002, we came to Odessa with my husband. He left the Soviet Union back in 1980 and never came back. Only in 2002, over 20 years later, I convinced him to go with me because I had a concert in Moscow and we decided to travel to Ukraine together. He was really, it was a very special experience for him after when he saw his friends. Right now we are in touch with them. We Skype, we're not, converse on Skype with our friends in Odessa. They're still there. And this is unbelievable. Even today they bombed the city again. And this amazing artist, the artist, imagine Picasso or Chagall being fearing for their life and spending the night in the basement, the cold basement. I feel so much anger now with what is what has been done.
My sister-in-law is actually from Kyiv. She moved to the United States in the early 80s as well. And but still has close friends from childhood in Kyiv who stayed. They're still there, and she WhatsApps with them every day just to make sure they're okay. Sometimes she said she just looks to see that they read her message so that she knows that, you know, they're still alive. So you know, I guess you know, I think it's. There are a lot of people, obviously, who care about this war and want to do something to help, but there are a lot of Americans who just really, it's not on their radar. And I guess I'd like to hear from you your thoughts about why we should care, even if we don't have family or friends in that region.
Well, that a similar conversation we had with my younger sister, who has moved here when she was only 10. She doesn't feel a closeness to this problem somehow. She said to me, well, there are wars raging all over the planet, Tanya, and there is a war in Congo. There, no one lives beyond being 40 years of age in Congo. Why should I worry about this war more than I would worry about those other wars? And I say that there is a grain of truth in her, but she's saying that all wars are terrible, of course. And what is going on in Africa is awful, the starvation and disease and lack of immediate care. But this is something different. This is a power that is influencing the way the world is. Russia has been an aggressor country for many, many years, and it's been disguising itself in its aggression under all of those masks of perestroika and glasnost and democratic freedom. In fact, none of that was fully existing in Russia, ever. And now when the masks are torn off and when we can see the true face of this power, we can see that it's a fascistic regime.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on in Germany in the end of the 20s of the last century, well, actually exactly 100 years ago, we can say, right? Because it started, he came to power in 33, but that movement started in the 1920s, right? So exactly
right.
100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so what was there 100 years ago and what was the outcome of that for the world? Something that the repercussions that we experience even today. That's what is happening right now. This is the story that affects the whole planet. So even if you think that it doesn't touch you, you're wrong, because it does. This war is a part, or this is the war that all of us are part of. This is the war of fascism against democracy. This is how I see it. This is how I see it, because it was done, Russia was never a democratic country, never. Even when it was in the most green stage of its communistic, also a little bit over 100 years ago in 1917, when it said that it was going to be the first unique country, the most democratic, the most free, the most beautiful, and everyone knew what happened after, right? With Stalin and his repressions. Never, ever Russia was a democratic party. So my thoughts common Americans see the prices at gas stations they see is noticeable, right? They see that somehow this war is affecting them, whether they want it or not. I'm frightened, Mara. I'm really frightened because I'm afraid that we will not apply enough power, that NATO will be obeying the protocol. They will. I'm afraid that Putin will go va-bank. I'm afraid that he will put everything. He will take I'm not sure about the nuclear power, but I knowing the psychology of the Russian communists, and he's also a Russian communist. He's a KGB person. I believe that right now he will be ready to do anything to win. So I'm frightened because I'm afraid that if he wins, it'll be even worse.
Yeah.
And I'm also frightened because the polls show that the Russians are not against this war. Those thousands of Russians who fled the country, they have always been opposed to the regime. Yeah, there, you know, that all of the media channels have been closed. Any media channel which is not expressing the official opinion, they were banned, closed. Some people were tailed and feared for their lives, so they left. But majority of people, 140 million people, they're not opposed to this war.
Do they know what's really happening? I mean, that's the message we're getting, is that they don't really know what's happening.
I spoke with a couple of my friends. WhatsApp is still functioning. Instagram is not. Facebook is not, right? But WhatsApp is still functioning. And Telegram is also functioning. So you can still communicate with them. I spoke with them. They're not talking about it. They're just refusing to continue conversation. Maybe you can say that, yes, they know, but they're so afraid. They're so afraid. But I think majority of the people watch TV. And I, just out of curiosity, I watched some of these official channels. You will not believe what they're saying there. Now, when people from other countries came to fight on the Ukrainian side, these professional soldiers came to help. The way they're described on Russian TV is that they're Satan cult worshippers.
Wow. So,
and it would be too funny if it wasn't that tragic, because people believe anything. They believe that the city of Mariupol, the one that is 90% of which is destroyed, was bombed by Ukrainian forces. That's what people believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know how far will this go. I don't even understand. The idea is that Russians have always had this inner aggression in them. I don't believe in it. I think people are pretty much the same. Can you imagine, Marla, for example, can you imagine if all of the sudden in the U.S., all of the media, that the independent media was banned and only the official channel was functioning and 300 million people were watching the same news, the same propaganda for, well, now it's almost 20 years that it's happening there. So for two decades, what do you think would have happened? Would we still be free thinkers? What do you think?
No, it's brainwashing. That's brainwashing. You know?
And the way, the people, invest a lot of money in this propaganda. People who are very gifted speakers and work for the regime, they're paid amazing sums of money, and they're very passionate. When you listen to them for a couple of hours, my stepmom went there a couple of years ago, and she said, Tanya, after listening to these guys, I felt like taking arms in my hands and just going killing all the enemies of the state. She said. It was enough for her for a couple of weeks. It was enough for her to be ready to act.
Right, right. Yeah. Well,
I'm not sure that would be the same with me, but yeah.
Well, you know, if there are intelligent people who are putting out the propaganda, then they know how to brainwash people. So, you know, before we go on to the next song, do you have thoughts about how people here might be able to help with people feeling so helpless here? You know, I gave names of organizations. I don't know if you know of any of those or if you just have thoughts about it.
There's Ukrainian channel, which is called Free Dom. It's a TV channel. All of the Ukrainian media channels are now grouped together, and they translate the truth about this war 24/7. And if you go to that channel, I think there you can have subtitles, English subtitles, so you will understand what they're saying. They translate in Ukrainian and in Russian. But you can also see what, watch and understand what they're saying with subtitles. They constantly publish verifiable links where you can send funds to help.
Okay.
Some of our friends first started to say, so the channel is called Freedom. The first part of the word is in English, F-R-E-E, but then instead of Latin D, there is this Cyrillic D, Greek letter D,
mm-hmm.
O-M, at the end, OM, which is
okay.
The same in both languages. So freedom. Freedom, and I believe after that is .ua, Ukraine. You
okay.
can, you can. That this is one of the verified channels to help. I'm sure that if you, I know concrete people, but they say that money. I've been sending money via Western Union to our friends in Odessa, but they say that it's not the immediate. There's no immediate need for money. There's a need for medical supplies. There's need for food and other things. So I believe that it's better to go through channels like Freedom because they will then know how to redistribute currency and to
right.
Obtain what is needed. So
right.
I would say that. But I think that people are helping. People from Europe are helping. I think that the most important thing that we can do right now is to keep the spirit of the Ukrainian people high. That's what is the most
mm-hmm.
important thing. Because this is a
okay.
very tiring,
mm-hmm.
tiring and trying time right now. It's just very, very exhausting because you know, yes, they're brave. They're incredibly brave. They're incredibly strong because their heart is strong and they know that they're true. They're
mm-hmm.
the knights of light struggling and wrestling with the darkness. But even in this moment, still we need to remind them how much we're supporting them, how much our thoughts are with them. So I think that sending, keeping them in your prayers and sending your good thoughts and posting on social media, talking about it, because there's so much disinformation right now. It's unbelievable. And it is so meticulously done. Some of the, you know how they are able right now, for example, there are funny videos when Bill Gates is talking about perestroika in Russian, or Elon Musk is singing one of the Soviet songs. They're
uh-huh.
able to do this in the computer technology. They're able to do any fake imaginable, and they look absolutely legit. So now I think it's really important to post a lot of post all the news that you get from CNN, from BBC, all the verified true news about the war, to post them as much as you can to fight on the front of information, because the war is also in the
mm-hmm.
on the informational front. That's what I believe.
Yeah, that's
what you're
sure.
doing right now. I think this is part of it too, Marlon. Well, that's what you're doing that now.
you're talking
about
it, and this is already a lot.
Yeah. That was the hope, that we can make some difference. Well, we're gonna play one of the other songs that you sent. Again,
shall we play this
song?
Shall we play this Chopin?
Okay. All right. Play the Chopin, and then we'll come back and talk a little more before we end. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Okay, beautiful again.
The pianist is Daniel Greenwood. Hello?
What's his name? I hear you.
His name is Daniel. Daniel Greenwood. He's a British pianist.
Okay.
And this is the concert that we did 3 years ago in London
at the beautiful St. Piccadilly's, St. Paul's Church in St. Piccadilly, in Piccadilly in London, right in the heart of London. He's an amazing pianist. I'm hoping that someday I will be able to get him here so that the American audience will have a chance of hearing him play.
Mm-hmm.
Chopin was from Poland. He was born in Poland, but his father was French and his mother was Polish. And he spent his professional years that he spent in France. And he missed his country, but he didn't return there. He died in France.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought he was French.
I know. Well, even his last name sounds Chopin, the way we pronounce it. But he's a Polish composer. When I was in Poland, when I was playing concerts there, one of the towns where we, Żeliazowa Wola, that's where he was born, there's a museum and there's a wax model of his right hand. It's very small, very tiny, tiny hand. You wouldn't believe all of these virtuosic passages, how he was playing them. He must have had an amazing dexterity and flexibility in his wrist and his fingers to play all of that. But the hand is very tiny, very beautiful, very delicate hand.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. I saw a movie about him a long time ago that was on PBS. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember him being Polish. It was more about the woman in the movie than about him. One of his, you know, relationships.
George Sand.
Yes, George Sand. Exactly.
The writer George Sand.
That's what the movie was about.
Yeah. Love hate relationship. Very difficult. Very, very turbulent relationship.
Right. Yeah. Before we play the last song before we get to that, is there anything that you would like to say to any Russian speaking listeners in Russian?
Yes, I would like to say the very short announcement and short request to them. I would like to do it now. May I do it now? Ребята, сейчас пишется история. И вы знаете, даже если вы говорите себе, что все нормально и все окей, вы знаете, что ненормально и не окей. И сейчас необходимо всеми силами, кто может выходом на улицу, кто не может мыслями и молитвами, кто не может хотя бы внутри себя сказать, что вы не с этим режимом. Сейчас Россия полностью заблокирована от остального мира. Сейчас в России не осталось ни одного правдивого СМИ. Почему вы думаете, это произошло? Почему вы думаете, что весь мир ополчился на вас? Значит, как получается, что весь мир сошел с ума, а Россия права и делает все хорошо? Или все-таки наоборот? Почему от вас скрывают правду? Если бы действительно это была справедливая война, если бы действительно вы делали все здорово и освобождали бы кого-то от кого-то, наверное, вам бы полностью открыли бы возможности всем журналистам об этом говорить. Но всем журналистам, которые хоть что-то могут сказать правдивого, был заткнут рот. И они, многие из них, им пришлось покинуть страну, потому что им угрожали. И мы это знаем из первых рук. Мы вас не обманываем, поверьте. Сейчас идет несправедливая, братоубийственная война против народа, который является вашим братом, вашим кузеном. у вас там родственники, у вас там друзья. То, что сейчас происходит там, это кошмар. Россия, на нее смотрит мир, как на фашистское государство. Это надо остановить. Нельзя, чтобы это продолжалось. Скажите, что вы не с Путиным. Уберите Путина. Он Гитлер 21 века. Я закончила. I'm done. I'm finished.
Okay. Can you give us a little synopsis of what you said? You don't have to repeat the whole thing.
The basically boils down to the fact that there is not a single independent media channel in Russia. There were two left mm-hmm. before the beginning of the war. They were both closed. People who were administrators of those channels, they were fearing for their lives, and they left. Right now, Russia is isolated from the rest of the world, and they don't know what's going on. And Putin's government tells Russians that the whole world is out of its mind, and Russia is the only rightful and true country doing the rightful and justified war. And this is illogical, because if it was in truth a justifiable and correct war, then all of the channels, all of the media channels all over the world would be left alone, so people would know how it is really. But since you're blocked, then even the person who is not into politics should suspect that something is wrong. It's not that the whole world is crazy and Russia is right. Logically, it cannot be so. Mm-hmm. And I told them also that if they're afraid to go and protest against Putin, they should at least not support this war. They should at least know in their hearts that it's not correct, that this is a criminal act. That's what I basically said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to play the last mm-hmm. piece that you sent, and that was a homage to Janos Starker?
Yes, Janos Starker was an eminent cellist, and he was also I've never studied with him. He was a Hungarian-American cellist who taught in Indiana, at Indiana School of Music in Bloomington. And he was the one who wrote to me when I recorded my Bach transcription of the violin works on the cello. He wrote to me and he paid attention to this and he praised me, and we started correspondence with him. I felt like I was supported by a very important musician, and it was very, very inspiring. When Janos Starker died, this piece just came to me. It just came to me. It wasn't mm-hmm. difficult to write it down. It was just, it's almost like the universe wanted me to write it down. So it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Homage to Janos Starker.
Okay. So we're going to play that, and we'll talk just a couple of minutes longer afterwards, so don't go anywhere. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Tanya Anisimova. Beautiful, Tanya. Beautiful.
Thank you, Mom.
Song to for the end of the show. And I'm going to be honest with you. While I was listening to it, I looked up Janos Darker to see his background, because the music that you wrote inspired by him sounded very much like the music of my own heritage.
Is that so?
Yeah.
I'm really
and
glad that you felt the connection there. I'm really glad that you felt the connection to this.
Yeah, I looked it up specifically to see if we shared a similar Eastern European Jewish background, because I felt it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's wonderful. Yes, his parents were Jewish immigrants to Hungary from Russia.
And, So, Tanya, I want to thank you so much for being on this program, to speaking so openly about, you know, this really difficult, painful situation that I think the whole world is in, and playing for your beautiful music for healing.
It was my pleasure.
Go on.
I'm not only happy to do that, but I'm really grateful to you for giving me that chance. Because as you rightly put it, sometimes we feel helpless. We want to help. We want to be part of it to help the Ukrainians, but it's very hard to be of help. And I now feel a little bit better because you gave me this chance to support them. And I feel a little bit lighter with my heart now.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. And if listeners want to hear more of your music and find out more about you, follow your great live streams, what are the best ways they can do that?
Well, they can just look me up online. They can go to my website. My music is available on my YouTube channel. They can subscribe to my YouTube channel. They can go to my Facebook page, Tanya Anisimova, Cellist and Composer Facebook page, or to my Instagram. And sometimes I put some material and some news about upcoming events there. So they can listen to my songs on iTunes. They can listen to my songs on Spotify, or I'm sure they will. Those who navigate internet, they will probably be. It'll be easy for them to find me.
Okay, you're very accessible. Great. Well, you have a wonderful evening, Tanya, and thank you again so much. And Slava Ukraini.
Героям слава. Right. Thank you so much, Mama.
And
do the
same. Okay.
До свидания. Bye-bye now.
Okay. All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. We've come to the end of really a great show, really. I'm so happy about how this has turned out, and I hope that it's been helpful, enlightening all of your hearts as well, and that you have the inspiration now to do some things to help the people of Ukraine, either donating, volunteering, or as Tanya was talking about, keeping the spirits of the Ukrainian people up in this difficult time by posting and letting them know that you're thinking about them, posting verified news so that they know that they've been heard. And thank you all so much for joining us for this special show. And you can hear it again and get those website links. I will be posting them all later tonight, about ways that you can help. And if I find out more information after tonight, I will keep posting it on the website post about this show. And you'll also be able to listen to this whole show again on my website tonight. And you can also hear it in 5 minutes from now directly on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And you can find it on Apple Podcasts in 5 minutes as well. And this show, as usual, was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions. And I want to thank my guests, Ed Hockfield, Tanya Anisimova, and thank you to Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night, an inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone. Stay safe. Slava Ukraini.
Ой, люди, червона калина похилилася, чогось наша славна Україна зажурилася, а ми тую червону калину підіймемо, а ми нашу славну Україну хе-хе розвеселимо. Ой, люди, червона калина похилилася, чогось наша славна Україна зажурилася. А ми тую червону калину підіймемо, а ми нашу славну Україну гей-гей розвеселимо.
Доброго вечора. Ми з України.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.